Welcome to the Business of Collaboration podcast. In this podcast, we try and answer the following questions. What is innovation? How do people collaborate and work together? Who is behind the most innovative ideas, technology, and knowledge? We are curious about people. How do they innovate? How do they create a new technology or acquire new knowledge? We give them a voice and a platform to share their stories because they are superheroes.
This is your host, Jara Pascual, founder and CEO of CollabWith. Today, we have the true pleasure to talk to Ladeya Godina-Crozier. Ladeya will be a keynote speaker at the ISPIN Connect Global Conference on the 6th to 8th of December as a virtual event. Crozier is founder and executive director of Circular Chains and the Institute for Circular Economy. She is also EU Woman for Future in 2020. In this podcast episode of Business of Collaboration, we will talk about the importance of orchestrating an ecosystem, how to create a mindset for a circular economy, and why communication and marketing are key elements to drive change in the society. Do you want to know? Listen to our podcast with Ladeya Godina-Crozier.
Welcome and good morning, Ladeya Godina-Crozier.
Yes, hello.
To this podcast, Business of Collaboration. So you are a keynote speaker at the ISPIN Connect Global on the 6th to 8th December as a virtual event. What is your keynote about?
So I choose the title, How to be innovative when you are scared to death. And I choose it with purpose because we are all under such a pressure nowadays because of this pandemic situation, and the media is bombarding us with the stories about deaths, threats, and so on. But at the same time, we are still challenging or facing the climate crisis. And so we have to address both a part of this coin. So on one side, the pandemic situation, on the other, the climate crisis. And what we need is innovative spirit. So I think it's very important to talk about that, how not to build back better, but really how to build in a new, a very innovative way so that we put all the parts of this system together in a new way that will enable us to live in a thriving society and economy.
Yes, because it's very important, the part of how to be resilient in this situation, and as well in any kind of situation of innovation, when you are having or feeling fear, there is two options. One, you stop, or one, you take action. And I think your title is very important to say, we have to take action. We have to use this feeling of fear, this energy to make action.
Yeah, that is, I would really like to show also through the presentation what kind of initiatives or projects are taking place around Europe, because we as Circular Change are collaborating with several partners from Nordic countries to Eastern Europe and so on. And you can always see that there are a kind of epicenters of creativity, innovation, of this spirit that is so much needed. But what we are lacking is very often that these initiatives or these organizations are not connected in a system where they would be able really to show or to join forces and produce more, if to say so.
This is why I created my company, but this is another story. So, but before we continue with the interview, I would like to explain your professional experience and career until you founded the Institute for Circular Economy. This is very important to know why you are this drive for change in our society. You are doing very good in this sense.
Yeah, it is quite an exciting journey, I must say, like on roller coaster. And I like to say that I'm always jumping into the swimming pool when there is no water in that swimming pool. somehow I survived. So if I look back now, everything got its purpose. I started in creative industries as a creative director at Ogilvy. So why I chose that profession was that I was always very curious. I liked the interdisciplinary approach very much. And at the very beginning of my career, I thought, oh, advertising, communication, marketing, that is where I can do all that. So touch different perspectives, get known a lot, learn from each client and so on. So that was at the very beginning. Then I realized that actually it is not where the most impact, the positive impact that I'm aiming for can be created, because you're just more or less interpreting or repeating the messages. So then I went more into the direction already of sustainability, of innovation, and with former commissioner, European Commissioner for Transport, Violeta Bulc, we co-created an institute for business growth and creativity. It was more than 15 years ago, and it was a kind of too early, because everything was based on innovative communication, based on the knowledge of Stanford, because at that time innovative journalism was very, I wouldn't say popular, but it was something what was emerging. But from here on, we started to engage stakeholders to really think about the narrative, how in different silos or in different segments people are speaking different languages. So we have learned a lot, and we've got a lot of experience out of that. But as I said, it was too early and we couldn't earn money out of that. So therefore, I moved back more into a kind of consultancy and combining now this both approaches towards sustainability as well as still working in marketing sphere. Also being employed for 3 years as a marketing director at the biggest Slovenian newspaper publishing company, where I have learned a lot, again, how to motivate people in those critical times. It was back in 2011 when we faced economic crisis and so on. So then I came to the point when I realized, oh, there is something what is called circular economy. The first circular economy action plan has been introduced. And it was a kind of aha moment. And at that point, I decided, yes, I will establish my own network and company and really devote my time to this topic.
I like how you are making cool, if we can say, to educate our society and industry into a circular economy mindset. Why is communication, media, and marketing so important into driving change?
Because we humans are social beings, and we cannot not communicate. So when you are born, you start to cry, to scream, to really communicate what you need and what you dislike. So and further on, of course, we get skilled how to communicate in a more appropriate, let's say, or in a way that resonates with our culture. And in different cultures, of course, we have different value systems, and also the communication patterns are different. So this is one reason. Communication is really the tool we as humans have to share knowledge, to exchange opinions. So as I said, we cannot not communicate. And then when we want to co-create, we need this ability or capability to express our ideas, to express our fears as well, or to express our thoughts. And of course, at that point also, we need the capability to hear the other one. So it is not only about the dialogue is always going two directions, the one who is talking and the one who is listening and then replying. So this is also something what sometimes we forget, and we like to talk a lot, me as well, but we need to listen and hear what the person on the other side is sharing with us. So I guess that I have somehow developed these skills, and I would say that as I see, I have quite a lot of empathy as well. And so when you have this mixture of empathy, curiosity, respect, and at the same time communication skills, then you can have this role of a facilitator or a curator of the dialogue.
And I think you are very right there when you mention respect is one of the basics, I think, of at the end of innovation as a value, as well the empathy, but sadly it's forgotten in some cases. And it's very good, like you mentioned, this is as a key point, because for me, I think I am every day saying respect, respect, respect people, please. And yeah, it's very good to as well to know how important is communication, but as well how important is this orchestration of the ecosystems. So the next question, it was about this topic. One of the important factors to understand is the importance of the innovation ecosystems to bring people together, and the importance of investment on orchestration of those ecosystems to bring these people together and connect them to collaborate and to bring value to our industries and society. Can you maybe develop more this idea, like we both share?
Yeah, you put it so nicely. So I will try to go step by step, because you structured it in a perfect way. So the first thing you said was about innovation ecosystems. First, we have to understand that ecosystem. So we are addressing ecosystem. This is a system that consists of different parts. So we should not be in the silos and not just focus on one particular topic or one particular segment, but having this ability to see everything as a system of equally important parts. The other thing you addressed was the importance of bringing people together. And here I see through my work that too often we do not recognize those, let's say, change makers or those out-of-the-box thinkers. The other is that we do not enable them, even if they're recognized in some societies, and I can include our country, Slovenia, where I'm coming from, that we feel some fear to those who are not completely aligned with the main mindset, you know, with the mainstream. Yeah. So recognize, enable, then to have this courage to engage them. So to invite them into the decision-making processes, and of course, then to support them on long term. And all that is creating then an ecosystem in which those kind of people or organizations can thrive and can contribute. Because if you are frightened, if you are scared, as I addressed my topic for the global conference, if you are scared to work with those who are not like-minded, innovation cannot happen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is going to the point of diversity and inclusion. And how currently now we have only in our innovation ecosystem, when we have one, at least locally, there is a lack of different type of perspective or different type of mindsets or people thinking outside the box, they are looking at as a crazy. I think you mentioned very good the point of this mainstream mindset, like we have to be more open to difference and accept this thinkers of the box or visionaries, or I don't know how we can call them, but as a part of they are breaking the rules maybe because they are making innovation.
Yeah, it's always easier, you know, to be with like-minded people, because then you are in your comfort zone and in your safe bubble. You can just share things, exchange things, and we say, yeah, I am right. And this is the ego that is in us for this kind of environments or even friendships and so on. But it is good to be able to accept different opinions and to put together different interests. There is nothing wrong if our interests are not aligned, but based on that, on this transparency and openness, we can start this co-creation process. And here I see the importance of this, I call them safe spaces, you know, the spaces where you can be you and do not pretend or do not play a different role, but really use all your potential. Because for innovation, as we know, you never know when something can click, or maybe someone says something what then lights the fire. So I'm encouraging everyone, because sometimes it is like, oh, this person is not creative. It is impossible. We were all born, as I said, to communicate, and we were all born with creative potential. It is only about the environment, the educational system, whether we manage to maintain that or not. But this is in every single person. So that is really important. And then once you are humble enough or open enough to accept that, then you are not really afraid that you can lose something, or that that there is a competition and you should not share your ideas. You know that ideas are in the universe somehow, and it's about us now in this ecosystem, innovative ecosystems, to put these parts together in a unique way and invent something new.
Totally. I think that's perfect. That's perfect. And now you mentioned, like, everyone is creative. And I remember when I had my first role as a innovation manager, this statement was very important for me. I learned this reading a book, you know, so important are the books about innovation. And I said, okay, if we are coming from the basics, like, everyone is creative, so we can do innovation with everyone. So this makes you a baseline, super powerful, to respect, again, very important, and accept any kind of ideas, and to make all together, working all together for a mission, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you completely.
But I think I like that, like you mentioned this, because maybe sometimes we don't think about this essence and basics of how we can orchestrate an innovation ecosystem, or how we accept different kind of ideas, you know, like active listening, but as well respect, and know, like, everyone is creative and everyone has a superpower inside themselves. So the point of knowing yourself is one of the critical points, maybe, to say, I can do this, you know?
Yeah. I would really like to add something to that, you know, what you mentioned now. So if we empower people in this way, that we say everyone is creative, it is also, I like to use this metaphor as well, it doesn't count what you have written on your business card as your title.
Yeah.
It is about who you are and what your potentials are. And in our Western society, we are so stick to those titles, you know, and to and then we automatically say, oh, he is the director of the research center, of course we should devote more attention to him, because the other one is only the student coming from, I don't know, India, and why should we listen to him or her, however. So this is already the first thing, and I would say, like, throw away the business cards once you are in the space where you're supposed to be creative and innovative. And the second is take off your tie if you are a man with a tie or high heels if you are a lady. Because they told me also that by wearing the tie, you know, then your chakra is somehow blocked, and you cannot really say everything or be as open as you would be without tie. So it's a joke, but it works. And I did this experiment several times at the workshops. And all of a sudden, those businessmen, you know, became so relaxed, and they said, oh, I really feel much better. I can breathe deeper. And it makes me somehow more flexible. So these little things count when we are co-creating these spaces where we are boosting the innovation or creativity. And another example I would like to share, or the experience, while I have been working with my colleagues in Japan, for example, for them, the transdisciplinary, not only interdisciplinary approach, is in the essence of their work. So for them, this is super normal. And I was so surprised because when we got this symposium in Kyoto at the Shisha University, for example, on this book that we are co-creating, Kyoto Manifesto for Global Economics, there were professors who were teaching economy, who were teaching art, who were teaching religion, who were teaching sports. So equally important, no matter what the topic is. And here I see, you know, this big difference also if I compare it, at least according to my experiences, the European style of approaching the topics and innovation and let's say Japanese or more Eastern style. So we can learn from each other a lot.
So now I want to go with a question about the classical one. What is innovation?
Yeah, I think we should distinguish between creativity, invention, and innovation.
Exactly.
And so in this process, the definition I usually use is that innovation is the invention. So something new, completely new, put it together in a new way, but also proved on the market. So once it gets the recognition and interest on the market, we call it innovation. So it becomes a part of the solutions that we are implementing. And invention is the same thing, to say so, or same solution that has not been adopted by the market or by the stakeholders for which this particular one might be relevant. And what we see very often is this gap. So that those inventions do not come to the market due to different reasons. We can tackle them or not, because we can discuss a lot. But this is how I see this difference between creativity, invention, and innovation. Because when you're creative, you can just reframe something, or you put, let's say, if you have Lego blocks, as a child, I used to play a lot with them. So I was very creative because once I used them to build a house, the other time to build a car, but it is not an innovation. It was just my creativity.
Yeah, exactly. And I think this is a very important point to distinguish.
Yes.
There is a lot of misunderstanding of, and as well, misusing the word innovation sometimes.
Yes. So, I agree.
So the next question now is like, what is collaboration for innovation?
You are listening to the Business of Collaboration podcast, a production from CollabWith. We are an online community helping businesses connect with experts to solve innovation challenges and create consortiums. We do this through a custom-built environment where academics, startups, and businesses collaborate to innovate and accelerate. Together, we break down the barrier between academics and the business world. Innovation has never been so accessible. And now, back to our podcast.
Yeah, we touched this point already, the collaboration for innovation. So when we are talking about collaboration on this like a word or a buzzword that we are using, we always agree that it is super nice and fancy and that we like to collaborate. But it is very similar as with the change. We would like everyone and everything to change, but not starting ourselves. We don't want to change, the others should. And with collaboration is similar. You say, yeah, I love collaboration. But once you start the process, because as I said before, collaboration is bringing different ideas around the table. So it is something like entering naked into the room. You know, you really bring yourself and start looking at others, showing what you can offer and what the others can offer. And out of that, when we are talking about collaboration for innovation, we should jointly, by these different approaches, different languages, whatever, with this variety of different factors, not about equal factors, but about this differentiation and this variety is boosting the innovation, we should come out with something new. And what is what I have learned about this collaboration, what are the main, let's say, barriers on this journey. One is that people are afraid that if they really come naked, metaphorically, of course, they can lose something, you know? So someone will steal my idea or will abuse something what I will share. So this is, if you think like that, then you cannot collaborate. The second one is, I don't want to be a loser because maybe someone will gain something earlier than I will. So this mindset that by collaboration, we co-create a bigger pie. And once we have a bigger pie or a cake, then each of us can eat bigger slice. So we are not working on that, how to make my slice bigger, but how to make the cake bigger, because then my slice become bigger, you know? And it is also, again, the barrier in the mindset. And the third is, as I already mentioned before, this ego. So if we co-create, then how can I be awarded or rewarded for that? Then this is a joint success, you know? So therefore, it is easy to talk about collaboration, but it is very, very hard really to implement that, at least according to my experiences.
Totally. Because this mindset, or you have the open and transparent, and you are well with yourself, you know, as well as part of the self-esteem, like you mentioned, the ego. If you are fine with all of this, and you know what you can deliver and what is your goal and your mission, then you have not these fears. But if you are not in that level, then yes, it's very difficult to collaborate. So the next question is, what is the thing you are most proud of?
Oh, it's, you know, every morning when I wake up, I am so grateful that I woke up and that there is something in front of me. So I wouldn't say that I'm proud of something. I'm really humble and, as I said, grateful for all the opportunities I have, and things are emerging and new connections and collaborations like with you right now. So I'm always so excited about everything what this life is offering me. But if I would say what gives me this inner sense of fulfillment is absolutely that I have three kids and I learned, and I have learned so much from them, and I'm still learning. So maybe it might sound, yes, like a cliche, but that what makes me feel good is really that I have these three kids. The rest is the bonus.
The next question is, and the failure you were learning the most from?
Yeah, I like failures as well, you know, because as I told you, I'm jumping in those swimming pools without water. And first, I was frustrated a little bit because I was wondering what is wrong with me, you know, why. And I was also sometimes... I've challenged some situations, like they told me, oh, you're so creative, you cannot be in the board. That is not what is needed among decision makers. Or it was said to me, oh, now you have your first child, your career is over, and so on and so on. So then, as I mentioned to you, we established this Institute for Business Growth and Creativity, and we failed because we didn't have enough financial resources, yeah, and so on and so on. But I wouldn't say that these are failures. These are lessons learned on this life journey. And without these lessons, I wouldn't be who I am and where I am. And whenever I look back, I understand why certain things were really important and meant to happen. So what I believe in is synchro destiny, so that everything happens with purpose. And that is how I look at life. And it is not always easy. And people knowing me, they say, oh, you're always laughing and this positive spirit and so on. But this is coming, yeah, something is genetic, and I'm grateful for that. But it is also coming from this, that I do not treat failure something what is not considered as a success in a society as something bad, because I follow my purpose, and as long as I'm fulfilled and I contribute to the positive change of the society, I feel good. So I think that this kind of purpose-driven approach in life is really enabling at least me to remain positive and curious and creative, hopefully.
And now we are going to the quick questions about personal life. What is your favorite place for holidays?
I love the sea and I love sailing. So if I would choose, I would choose definitely a sailing boat.
What did your mornings look like? Do you have a routine?
Yeah, actually the routine, my morning routine is the only routine I really have. And this is that every morning, as I said, when I wake up, I say, thank you, life. And then I do yoga or Tai Chi, because I need that to reset myself somehow and to prioritize what is important and not, a kind of meditation. So every morning I take around 1 hour for myself and to get ready for the day. And that is my routine.
When do you wake up?
I wake up around 7 a.m.
What are you doing for your spare time on weekends?
This is where I still have to learn a lot, because according to all my interests and activities and everything, I don't have a clear barrier between spare time and working time and weekends and working days. I should improve this balance a little bit more. But there is also a positive side of that I don't have to split that or divide it into two universes, but that within my universe, I can meet very interesting people, spend time with those I like and so on, even if it is not a weekend, but it is maybe just Wednesday and I take 1 hour for a walk with my good friend and things like that. So I try to spend, or let's say spend quality time. It means definitely being with those that I love. And as curious as I am, is also related to reading movies and everything, to get inspirations from whatever, from nature or from science or whatever can bring this into my life.
And the last question, what is your favorite music?
It depends, but I have my favorite author, and that is definitely Leonard Cohen. Despite his death, for me, he is very much alive. And I like his quote, that is, there is a crack in everything. That is how the light gets in. And I can only sign that and say, yes, let's go and take a look at those cracks where we can spread the light.
Okay, thank you very much, Ledeya Kosir, for this interview. It was amazing to see, as well, to interview like-minded people, we can say.
Yeah, I enjoy very much. And as I said, Synchro Destiny brought me and brought you into my life. And I'm really thankful and grateful and looking forward to everything what is about to emerge after this interview as well. So all the best to you.
Thank you for listening to the Business as Collaboration podcast. And remember, if you want to support what we do, then share, subscribe, and leave a review over on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcast. You can find a summary of this podcast at podcast.collabwave.org. See you next week.